So Moses is one of the most famous heroes of faith in the Bible. After he grew up, God spoke to him through a burning bush. He led his people, the Hebrews, the Israelites, out of Egypt, through all of the 10 plagues, through the Red Sea, and on their journey, the journey with a load of moany people in the wilderness to the promised land. It was Moses who God gave the 10 commandments to. But it all could have been very different. That moment he was found by Pharaoh's daughter, what a change. He ends up growing up in the royal palace, in the royal family. Imagine going to school tomorrow with your friends as normal, and then the next day you're on the balcony in Buckingham Palace with Prince George and Louis and Princess Charlotte waving to the crowds. And the king is now your granddad. Imagine that. That's what happened to Moses. We're told in Acts 7, Moses was educated in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was powerful in speech and action. He went to the very best school there was. Probably he didn't go to school. The teachers probably came to him. And when he clicked his fingers, people came running and said, "Yes, what would you like?" He had all the power. And not only that, but our passage that Harriet just read talked about all the treasures of Egypt. Now, I've been wondering about treasures of Egypt. And I reckon that children might have learnt something about treasures of Egypt in school. Maybe you could help us. What sort of things were the treasures of Egypt? What sort of things could Moses have had anything of? Yeah. Egyptian? Ah, special cloths of special colours. Yeah, blue. Lovely, thank you. Yeah, girls at the front. Gold and silver. Loads of gold, yeah. A cat. Yeah, so like a golden cat maybe. Or a real cat, what were you thinking? A real cat, yeah. Yeah, as many cats as they liked because they worshipped them. Lovely. Yeah, yeah, Harry. Loads of money, loads of coins, yeah. Very good. Is that hand up there? Gold, yeah. Someone said that there was so much gold in ancient Egypt that it was like dust. So much gold, it was like dust. There was gold everywhere. Gold ornaments, gold jewelry, jewels, paintings, pictures, great big buildings. The pyramids, loads of treasures in ancient Egypt. Imagine that. Moses had it all. Anything you could think of. Have you ever had someone say to you, maybe your mum or dad or someone else has said to you, "I'm really sorry, but we can't buy that. We can't afford it." Maybe you've heard those words. Well, Moses never heard those words. He could have anything he wanted. And yet, Moses chose to say no to all of that. That's what we just read, wasn't it? By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be ill-treated along with the people of God, rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. Why would he do that? Why would he give all of that up to go back to his family and to his people who were slaves to the Egyptians? Well, God promised Moses that he would save his people and that he would use Moses to do that. And Moses put his faith in God. He trusted God. Moses realized that to be on God's team, even though it didn't look like it, was to be on the best team. Even if it meant going from having all of the gold and cats and paintings and blue cloth and lovely things to having nothing and being treated badly. It all just looks a bit upside down, doesn't it? How could he do that? Well, we're told he chose to be ill-treated and he regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ of greater value than the treasures of Egypt because he was looking ahead to his reward. Now, that's a bit strange, isn't it, talking about Jesus, about Christ, because Moses lived 1,500 years before Jesus was born. How can the writer to the Hebrews say that? Well, Moses would have known that God had promised his people that a ruler will come who will make all things right, who will rule over all nations. And there's a sense in which Moses understands and trusts in this coming king who will be after he's died, but in which his eternal future will be secure. And that king, that ruler is Jesus. And so as Moses trusted God and looked forward to the future, so he could do the right thing, even though it was the hard thing. He knew that God would never let him down. He knew that even if he was treated badly, it would be all right in the end. It would be so much better in the future and forever because of the promises he had in God. He knew that whatever the great rewards and treasures of Egyptian life, the rewards and treasures that God had promised for all eternity were just so much better. And so he did the right thing, even though it was the hard thing. We're going to think a bit about what Moses' choice, how that helps us with the choices that we make as people of faith today. But before we do, we know, don't we, that there are many Christians around the world who are ill-treated, who know what it's like to be treated really badly because they love Jesus, even today. We heard something of that, didn't we, a couple of weeks ago in our baptism service. There'll be people around the world today whose family won't talk to them anymore because they've become a Christian. There'll be people around the world today who might have lost their job because they're following Jesus. There'll be people around the world today who know that there are people who want to hurt them because they love the Lord Jesus. Well, we talked about Moses choosing to be on God's team, even though that was hard and it meant giving up all the treasures of Egypt. And we talked about what those treasures were. I wonder what would be on our list of treasures today. What would be on your list of things that you think it would be just amazing if I had these things? Life would be complete. I've got a photo coming up on the screen, hopefully. There's my treasure. This is an MG, an old MG sports car that was a treasure that we rented for a weekend a few years back. This would be on my list of treasures. I wonder what is on your list of treasures. On your worksheets, if you've got one of those, there's a set of scales. What would you list on that left-hand side there of treasures that you would love to have?
It's the right, right.
on the right-hand side. Thank you, Sarah. The higher side. Maybe have a think about that for a moment, whether you've got a worksheet or not. What do you treasure? What would you have on your list? What would the photo that you put up on the screen be? Have a think about that for a moment. What have we got on our list? Anyone willing to say what's on their list of treasures yet? To live in a gingerbread house. Wow. You'd never go hungry, would you? Or maybe you would, because if you ate it, you wouldn't live in a gingerbread house for much longer. Yeah. Tom. An index-linked pension. Yeah. Final salary pension scheme. Those were the days, eh? Yeah. Anything else? Yeah. What's on your list? Minecraft. Ah, that would be on your list of treasures. Yeah. Girls at the front. Some more friends. That's really tough, isn't it? When we're sometimes lonely. Yeah. That would be a wonderful treasure to have more friends at school. Yeah. Thank you. Your dog, your dog is your treasure. Rusty the dog. Wow. Yeah, girls at the back, what's on your treasure list? To live with your friends. And your Bible, yeah, that's a wonderful treasure. Yeah, brilliant. Any last treasures, Catherine? Good health. Yeah, thank you. Sorry, yes. Being a mummy's art. Well, wonderful treasures. This is all very good, wholesome treasures. I feel ashamed at my MG. Sarah. Sarah likes shoes. And a special room to keep them all in, maybe. They all sound wonderful. What if you could have all of those things that we said? What would that be like? Wouldn't that be amazing? Well, listen to what the famous actor Jim Carrey says. There he is. He said, "I hope everybody could get rich and famous and will have everything they ever dreamed of, so they will know that it is not the answer." It is not the answer, says Jim Carrey, who is a rich and famous actor with all the treasures of the world. And he said, it's not the answer. I think Moses had realized the same thing. He had everything he could ever dream of in the Egyptian royal family, and he realized it wasn't the answer. He realized that however much stuff he had on one side of the scales, it could never outweigh what he had by trusting in God and the future reward that God promised. There's a film that's very old now called Crocodile Dundee. And the Australian hero Mick Dundee is in New York, and he's a bit out of place in New York. And these robbers come up to him and point a knife at him and say, "Give us your wallet, give us your money." And Mick Dundee stands there and smiles, and he pulls out his great big Australian hunting knife and he says, "That's not a knife, that's a knife." I think Moses teaches us that the treasures of this world are a bit like that compared to the treasures we have by trusting in God and in the Lord Jesus. The treasures of this world, they're not treasures. the promised treasures we have, eternal life with Jesus forever, that's treasure. There's no comparison. The treasures of this world might be good for a moment, but they don't last and they don't really satisfy. They're not the answer, says Jim Carrey. Choosing to trust God and to do the right thing, even though it's the hard thing, that's of greater value. How can we be sure that that is true? Well, we can be sure that that's true because Moses points us to Jesus, doesn't he? Moses was willing to be ill-treated with and for the people of God for a future reward. Jesus was willing to be ill-treated for the people of God, for us, for our reward. Kessie is going to come and read to us from 2 Corinthians 8. Thank you, Kessie.
For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich.
Brilliant. Thanks, Kessie. Jesus was ill-treated. Jesus died on the cross. He became poor for us, that we might become rich and have eternal life and treasures in heaven. And we can be sure of that because Jesus rose on the third day. Because Jesus rose from the dead, so we have a living hope in a living Saviour and an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade. 1 Peter 1. So whatever worldly treasures we put on that side of that set of scales, they can never, however high we pile them up, they can never outweigh the treasure we have by trusting in God through Jesus. And because we have that treasure by faith, we know that we can choose to do the right thing, even though it's the hard thing. We can choose to trust in Jesus, to live for him, even when that means we're different from our friends. Even when that might mean missing out on some of those treasures on our list. It might mean that you choose to talk to somebody at school that nobody else really talks to. And your friends think you're really odd because you're doing that. It might mean choosing to own up and say you're sorry when you've done something wrong, even though you know that that will mean getting told off. For some of our older teenagers, that might mean choosing not to go to certain parties because you know that there are things that will go on at that party that you shouldn't be involved with. It might mean choosing to declare all of your income and to pay tax on it because that's the right thing to do. That's what God calls us to do. It might mean choosing to support Christian ministry with your money, and that means you have less holidays or an older car because you recognize that that's of greater value. For some, that might mean choosing to give up a career in order to tell people about Jesus in a different country or even in this country because you recognize there's nothing better you could be doing with your time, even though that might mean missing out on some other things. And you can say of all those things that you miss out on, Those aren't treasures. These are treasures, living for Jesus and knowing the treasures in heaven that we'll have in him. On your worksheets, there's a space on the bottom right-hand side, I think. Or is it the left-hand side? It says, when might you need to choose the hard thing because it's the right thing? Can you think of what that might mean for you? Maybe at work, maybe at school, maybe at home. Maybe there's something that you can think of this week that you think, well, I haven't done that and I need to say sorry to God. What might that mean for you? What might you need to choose? It's the hard thing, but it is the right thing. If you've got a worksheet, you could write that down there. If you haven't got a worksheet, just have a think about that for a moment. When we put our trust in Jesus, we're promised a reward that is better than all the treasure in the world. And so just like Moses, we can choose to do the right thing, even though it might be the hard thing. I'm going to pray and ask God to help us to do that, to help us with the things that maybe you've been thinking of or maybe you've written down on your worksheet. Let's pray and ask for God's help with that. Heavenly Father, we're sorry that we don't always choose to do the right thing because it's the hard thing. And because the treasures of this world, we so often want those more than we should. Please help us, like Moses, to choose to do the right thing, even if it's the hard thing. Help us to recognize what is really important and what is really treasure and what lasts forever. Help us to see that whilst it's not bad to have nice things, when we put our trust in them, when we think about them all of the time, they're not the answer. But when we come to you through the Lord Jesus, so we are assured, so we know that we have all we need now and forever, and even more than we can imagine. Please help us this week to choose the right thing, even if it's the hard thing. For we ask in Jesus' name, Amen.